Hello, this is Janet Meshagan Watson for Voice of the Last Days Ministry, and this is your wake-up call. The Lord is doing a great thing in the earth. Well, I want to talk to you today about the family business. You know, a lot of people talk about this one and that one. Well, they had it made because they just, you know, stepped into the family business, this and that. But did you know that we have a family business? There's something to which we need to be tending and attending that we often just, it's a side note. We are of the family of God, and we should be attending to His business. Yet so often we live our lives as if that were not the case. I want to bring some scriptures today to you that will help illuminate this for you. In Luke 2:41, and I'll begin reading, His parents, this is talking about Jesus' parents, went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So, when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Interesting, because we know that Mary had been visited by the angel. Joseph had been visited by the angel. They both knew that this child was of the Holy Spirit, the incarnate of God. And yet they didn't understand when he said, "I must be about my father's business." That is only spiritually discerned, because it just doesn't make sense, even in our own lives, that we put what we want or the pressures of the day secondary to what is a requirement that no one sees, no one hears, except yourself. Now I want to read that verse 49 in the Amplified. And he said to them, "How is it that you had to look for me?" In other words, why were you searching for me? He wasn't asking them why they wanted to find him. He was asking why they needed to search, because they should have known where he was. He said to them, "How is it that you had to look for me? Did you not see and know that it is necessary as a duty for me to be in my father's house and occupied about my father's business?" Let's look at that in the New Living Translation. "But why did you need to search?" he asked. "You should have known that I would be in my father's house." But they didn't understand what he meant. And you know, in this day and time, when you put the Lord first, when you are not doing what others are doing, when you are going after that which is not seen and they're going after that which is seen, they don't understand. It just doesn't make sense to the world. But we do need to be about our Father's business. And let's look at 1 Corinthians 6:19. Now here he's talking about fleeing sexual immorality, but let's look at verse 19. "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now let's look. The Amplified. "Do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, purchased with a preciousness and paid for, made His own. So then, honor God and bring glory to Him in your body." And the New Living Translation. "Or don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body." This is our duty. We are not our own. Well, you know, it's a lot about, well, I'm going to live my life. It's my time. It's time for me. This is what I want. Well, it's not about what we want. It's about what God wants, because we belong to Him. We were lost in sin. We were condemned, but He purchased us through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We were His to begin with. We were created by him. He is our Father, our Creator, our Father. We sold ourselves into sin and he purchased us. So we are God's and God's alone. Let's look at Ephesians 4:11. And he himself, this is speaking of Christ, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. That's our job, to let Christ be formed in us. Let's look at that in the Amplified. And his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles, special messengers, some prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries, some pastors, shepherds of his flock, and teachers. His intention was the perfecting and full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church, that it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ on perfection, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ and the completeness found in him. That's our job. That's our calling. That's the business in which we should be involving ourselves. But yet, a lot of times we put everything else first, and we also look to the world to see what is the standard, what's important with the world. And yet we should be in our Father's house doing his business. What do I mean by that? That we all should spend all day long in the church building? No. The Father's house represents his kingdom, his authority, his will. Let's look at Philippians 3:7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. The Apostle Paul had an agenda too. He had things he wanted. He had things he had accomplished. But yet he counted it all as rubbish compared to knowing Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. I bring this scripture to you with regularity because it is my heart's cry that I may know him. And not only that, it should be your heart's cry. That we know him and that we know the power of his resurrection. Everything else we do should come out of that. Any ministry that we do, any calls that we choose, anything we build, anything we accomplish should come out of our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's our job, to bring glory to the Father in our body. And how do we do that? Letting Christ be formed in us. There's no better work than we can do. Now, I want you to look finally, Luke 16:23. Now, at this point, let me back up some so you know the context here. Let's look at 21. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that he had to go to Jerusalem, and he told them what would happen to him there. He would suffer at the hands of the leaders and the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law. He would be killed, and he would be raised on the third day. This is the New Living Translation. But Peter took him aside and corrected him. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view and not from God's. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must put aside your selfish ambition, shoulder your cross, and follow me. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find true life. And how do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul in the process? Is anything worth more than your soul? For I, the Son of Man, will come in the glory of my Father with his angels, and will judge all people according to their deeds. And I assure you that some of you standing here right now will not die before you see me, the Son of Man, coming in my kingdom." Now let's go back to verse 23, where Jesus says to Peter, "Get away from me, Satan." Now how does he, why is Peter operating in the spirit of Satan? He says, "You are seeing things merely from a human point of view and not from God's." Let's look at that in the Amplified. "But Jesus turned away from Peter and said to him, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are in my way, an offense and a hindrance and a snare to me. For you are minding what partakes not of the nature and quality of God, but of men.'" You are minding, or you are setting your mind on and then carrying out what partakes not of the nature and quality of God, but of men. What is your job? Same as mine, to have the mind of Christ, total obedience to the total will of God and the total being. That's our job. Anything else that comes out of that is a bonus. We must be about our Father's business. Let's pray about this. Lord, I thank you that you have redeemed us from the curse of sin, and you have brought us to yourself through Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be mindful of those things which are of the Spirit. Help us not to get caught up in the world system and the things that the world tells us we need to do and be, but help us to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, that he may be formed in us, that we may bring glory to you in our bodies. Thank you, Lord, that we have such a great commission to do your will. I thank you, Lord, that it's in Jesus' name and authority and under his blood that we pray. And everybody said, amen. Well, where are you going to be found today? You going to be found in the world's venue? Are you going to be found in your Father's house doing his business? I'm praying for you. Аминь.